الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد الله سبحانه وتعالى said يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to talk inshallah today about two things, two concepts in Islam which sometimes are a source of confusion for people. People are confused about what it means and what they should do and how they should approach these two things. And the first one of them is sabr, and the second one is tawakkul. I recited for you the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sabr. He mentioned the sequence in which sabr is to be treated, and He also mentioned the result of having sabr. If you look at other places in the Quran, in Surah Al Imran, in Surah Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this term sabr in connection with the people, and He called them sabirin. And when He said sabirin, He meant mujahideen, because the reference to the sabirin which is there in Surah Al-Anfal and other places has to do with mujahideen very clearly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said if there are 100 of the sabirin, Allah will give them victory over 200 of the enemies, and if there are 1,000 of them, Allah will give them victory over 2,000, and so on. So therefore the reference to people who have sabr is with regard to people who are fighting in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the confusion with regard to sabr that people have is that they think that sabr means to sit and to bear patiently, meaning do nothing. Meaning do nothing. If some musibat is happening, we just bear patiently. We don't cry, we don't grumble, we don't complain, but we also do nothing. And we just wait. I want to remind myself and you that this is not the Islamic and the Quranic meaning of sabr. So I don't know where they got this from. As far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and means in the kalam, in His kalam, the sabirin, the one who is doing, the people who are doing sabr, are the people who are engaged in the ultimate effort that is possible in this life, which is literally to put their lives on the line for the victory of this deen. Literally, what is a greater symbol of action and effort than jihad fi sabilillah? And those are the people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them the sabirin. He did not call the people sitting at home the sabirin, no. Now, to come back to the ayah, which also shows the sequence. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What did He tell us is the means of seeking His help? Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu ista'inu. Did He say bis salati was sabr? No. Bis sabri was salah. This teaches us the concept of sabr. What is the concept of sabr? And this is where the tie the camel hadith falls into place. Right? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to somebody, tie the camel and then have tawakkul on Allah. And this is the link between tawakkul and sabr. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. O you who believe, take the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making the ultimate effort to the ultimate degree that you can make, and then stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, it is not this effort which can do anything, only you can do it. This is our aqidah. This is the aqidah of tawheed. The aqidah of tawheed is not to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa fi sama'i rizqukum wa ma tu'adun in Surah Az-Zariyat. So therefore my risk is on the sama. Nobody denied that, but it will not come down until you work for it. Laysa lil insani illa ma sa'a. For the dunya wal akhirah. This ayat applies to the dunya wal akhirah. In the dunya also you will get what you work for, and what you work for in this dunya is what will get you your akhirah. The risk is on the heavens, no doubt about this. We never said it's anywhere else. However, To bring it down, you have to do something. You have to make the effort. There are two farmers. Both of them are waiting for rain. Without the rain, their crops will fail. But one of those farmers also digs irrigation trenches. He digs the irrigation trenches leading to his plants. And the other one is waiting for rain, doing nothing. Who is going to benefit the maximum from that rain when that rain comes? The one who dug the trenches. Because when the rain falls, every drop of water that falls on the earth will get directed via the irrigation trenches to where that water will do the most good. Whereas the other one, the rain will still fall, something will happen, but most of the water will just run away and he will not benefit from the rain. There is somebody who makes all the effort to take advantage of the rahmah and of the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about his fadl? وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, go and search for his fadl. He did not say, go and create the fadl. He said, go and search for it. Allah has given it, but go look for it. So please understand this issue of sabr. The reason I'm saying it is because this causes a lot of confusion in the minds of people, both with regard to your livelihood as well as with regard to the work of deen. We somehow feel that somehow it will happen, somehow nothing will happen, somehow I will not even get a cup of tea. You have seen that many times here, unless you ask for it. You can't even get a glass of water. People, all these wonderful students of ours who claim to love you for the sake of Allah and Allah knows what, and then they all sit with about 16 bottles on one table when there are about 8 people on that table, and I'm sitting there without a single drop of water, and nobody has the tawfiq to give me one bottle of water without me asking for it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Nothing happens. It has to be made to happen. Please get this into your minds very clearly. And I'm giving you the dalil from the kalam of Allah. There is nothing bigger than that. Sabr is to do the maximum. Let's see what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and what was his action with regard to this sabr. Two major incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the seerah, both of which we are well aware of. One is the journey to Taif, and the other one is the behavior of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the time of Badr. Complete effort, full effort, everything possible, using all resources, all intelligence, all planning, all strategy, and then standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, Ya Allah, none of this can do anything. Only you can do. Only you can do. The essence of Tawheed is to make the effort and then know that the effort is not what gives the results, it is the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why make the effort? If it is the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which gives the results, then why make the effort? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to make the effort. Why make the effort? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salat. So we do both. We don't argue and say, if the effort is not going to do anything, why should I do it? If the medicine is not curing, if it is the amr of Allah, then why should I take any medicine? If my rizq is already in the heavens, and if it has already been written, then why must I work for it? Please understand this very, very clearly. As I have mentioned, see the lectures on rizq. But just to give you a gist, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written your rizq and my rizq. Nobody can take from it, nobody can give anything more. But the way in which we want to receive this risk is in our control, is in our hands. And what is the dalil? The dalil is that if you take the risk from a haram source, you will get punished, yes? By using a haram source, is the quantum of your risk increasing? No. You will still get the same amount of money or whatever the thing is. But you chose to take it via interest, you chose to take it via some other haram means. So the quantum does not increase, but you get punished for it because you chose the wrong means. And the same risk, if you choose the right means, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for that. Amount of risk is the same, but Allah will reward us for this risk because we choose the right means. Yes? Now think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written our risk. You are not going into the haram. But also you are not making any effort to receive the halal risk in an honorable way. So you will still get the same risk, but you will get it by becoming an auto rickshaw driver or a taxi driver or a street sweeper or something, because you did not study, you did not work, you did not do anything. You will still get the same, you will still get the same amount, but you will get it in a way which has no honor, which has no waqar in the life, in life. Nothing will change except this, because you chose that for yourself. You chose that for yourself. Instead of that, if you had chosen to say, no, I will work, I will study, I will, you know, get my qualifications and I will do something which has value in society, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the same risk with the izzah and with the waqar that goes with it. The reason I'm saying is that a lot of my young brothers and sisters from the university, and many of you, alhamdulillah, all of you are interested in da'wah and all of you focused and you want to work to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do da'wah. Now, several of you asked me this question here, and I've also heard this question from you many times before when I've had the pleasure of coming to your university, which is to say, what should we focus on? Should we focus on our studies, or should we focus on doing this religious program or that religious program, or this work of da'wah and that work of da'wah in the university? And there is a lot of fikr about the students, and you say, you know, the students are, this is happening and that is happening, and the students are going on the wrong path and so on. So I think I should exert myself and do da'wah and so on and so on. But let me assure you of one thing. There are stages in life. There are stages in life. You can only get maximum benefit from a particular stage when you are in that stage. If that stage passes, then you lose the advantage of that stage. Now, when you are in the university, your primary goal is to study. Your primary goal is to get qualified in whatever you came to study. You did not come to the university to give da'wah to anybody. You came to this university to study whatever it is that you have enrolled in. So focus on that. That is your primary goal. Study. Forget everything else. In addition to the study, when you have free time, when other people are hanging out like laundry on a clothesline. I don't know where they discover this term. Hang out. You hang out laundry to dry. Human beings don't hang out. Human beings spend time, quality time with each other. You convert a human being into a chindi on a string. So when other people are doing that kind of stuff, please engage in da'wah, please engage in religious programs, and please engage in all of this. But if you are engaging in all of that at the cost of your studies, then believe me, you've got this thing upside down. You've got this thing upside down. You will come out of the university with a third-rate degree or with nothing, and then you will try and do da'wah, and believe me, nobody will listen to you. Nobody will listen to you. We live in a world where people first see who the individual is before they decide to listen to that person. This is not the right thing. We should not do all of this, but forget all those shoulds. If people did what they should, then we would not have to do what we need to do. The reality of life is, take for example now, everyone always the photograph and always mention of the wife of the president of Turkey, that she wears a hijab. There are a million women who wear a hijab, so what's the big deal? What's the big deal? The big deal is because of who she is. So her practicing hijab, her wearing hijab is a source, inshallah, of guidance for other people. Yes? Because people will say, you know, even that woman can wear, so when what's wrong, why can't I do it? I should do it. So those sisters who need that kind of moral support, they've got it. If you qualify from the university and you come out and you are now a person who has standing in society because of your knowledge, because of your wealth, because of your position and power, and then you talk about Islam, it will have an effect on people. But you come out of there, well, what's your qualification? I failed in this thing. Oh, very nice. So you are a failed engineer or you're a failed doctor. Now, who wants to go to a failed doctor? For what? Right? Think about that. Think about that. I mean, that you are saying that you couldn't even take care of your own life. You didn't even have the judgment to do the right things about your own life, and you want to tell me what I should do about my akhirah? Assalamu alaikum. I'm not interested. Goodbye. I listen to someone who at least can show me that he knows what to do with his own life. You know, it begins there, right? Please understand. Get your priorities right. Get your focus right. Don't get distracted everywhere. Some of my brothers in the IIUM, when I came for the Heroes Conference, and I asked them, and they said, I have not attended a single class this whole semester. What were you doing? I was organizing this conference, I was doing that. If I was your university, I would check you out. If you didn't attend a single class, I would check you out. Why are you there in the university? For what? Some other people came and asked me, they said, you know, when I'm praying behind the imam, and the imam is reciting, or I'm reciting, I don't understand most of what is being recited, so should I read some tafsir? I said, no, for you to read tafsir is haram. For you who are studying in the Islamic university, to read tafsir in any language other than Arabic is haram. Why don't you learn Arabic? I mean, people, old people like me, we studied, even in the Jamia, we studied in Urdu. They didn't teach us Arabic. May Allah bless them and may Allah forgive their sins. So today we struggle. But you don't have to do that. Alright? You are in your 20s, some of you less than 20, some of you a couple of years older than 20. I'm three times your age. Why can't you learn Arabic? Because you're too busy running around doing stuff which has no value. Seriously, no leverage. A zero value in running here and running there and listening to this one and that one. Focus on yourself. Focus on your study. Focus on learning the Arabic language. Focus on understanding the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on the usul of deen. Focus on your akhlaq. Everyone I know, alhamdulillah, has this great desire. We must all be together. We must be one ummah. Why are there so many divisions and so on and so on? Yes, you've heard this many times, right? Everyone. So I ask you, if you are a Hanafi Tablighi, I ask you, name for me your Salafi friends. You say, Salafi friends, this is an oxymoron. He's either Salafi or he's a friend. Ajib. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Thut, Salafi. And exactly the same thing in that corner. Exactly, there's no difference, absolutely no difference. You go to the Salafis and you say, brother, you have this great desire. No, the whole Ummah should be one and there should be a Khalifa and so on and so on. So please name for me, who are your Hanafi friends? Who are your Tablighi friends? Tablighi? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They are mushrikeen. Their aqeedah is wrong. I had this conversation in Mumbai. I went to attend one of the Al-Kawthar courses there because my very good friend Sheikh Bilal Phillips was Sheikh Bilal Ismail was teaching the course, and I went to see him. So then after that, a lot of hardcore Salafis come to those courses. So one of them, nice guy, because he gave us dinner. So anyone who gives me dinner is a nice guy. So he took us for dinner, and sitting on the dinner table is myself and a friend of mine, Ahmad Saeed, by me, and Sheikh Bilal, and this guy sitting there. And I don't know how that conversation came. I generally keep very clear of all these conversations, especially before dinner. It's bad for digestion. So I didn't say. But somehow the issue of Tablighi Jamaat came in. And this young man, may Allah bless him, he started off and he said, Tariq Jameen is a mushrik. Tariq Jameen lies about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now I am thinking, my God, I am eating fish. Why? How did Tariq Jameen come into this fish? Now I am looking at Sheikh Bilal. Sheikh Bilal is looking at me. I will not even sit on the same table with Tariq Jabir. Now this went on and on and on. So Marana Tariq Jabir, Naam Barakatum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. One of the most wonderful speakers, one of the most wonderful human beings on the face of the earth, as far as I am concerned. I've been in Jamaat with him. My point is, I listened to all this. I kept quiet. I said, Ya Allah, Inna Allah Hama Sabirin, Ya Allah, you are with me, Ya Allah, you are with me. At one point, it got to the point where I said, now, you know, I'm using knife and fork. Should I use it on the fish or on this guy? So then I said to him, my brother, tell me, what is the problem with Tablighi Jamaat and what is the problem with Tariq Jamil? Da'ud Barakatuh. He said, his aqidah is wrong. His aqidah is wrong. All the Salafis like to talk about aqidah as if they invented the bloody thing. Yeah, the aqidah is wrong. It's alright, so his aqidah is wrong. I said, what is your aqidah? I said, I agree with you. What is your aqidah? Now he's scratching his head. So I said, you cannot even tell me what is your aqidah. You don't even know how to express your aqidah. And you want to curse somebody else? I said, my brother, do me a favor. Just shut up and eat that fish. Right? And let us go from here. I said, well, absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. My point I'm making is that if you are so interested in getting this ummah together, then how come you don't make friends with other people? That means you are lying. You are lying to yourself. You are cheating yourself. How come you don't make friends with other people? You know why there are so many divisions? Because of you. Because you don't make friends with other people. That's why there are divisions. I don't like to present myself as an example. I don't consider myself to be an example for anybody. Please do not follow me. But I am just mentioning one thing, which is, and many of you who know me know this is true. Alhamdulillah, I am invited to Tablighi Jamaat Istimas. I am invited to Salafi Masajid. I am invited to everywhere. To the Jamaat Islami people, to the Isna people, to the Ikna people, and all the four letter organizations of Muslims that are there in America, everybody in why? Because I do not criticize people unnecessarily for their stuff, and believe me, I don't change the way I pray. I pray the way I pray, and Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. People have pushed me forward and asked me to lead prayer, and those people who have pushed me forward are not people who follow my madhab. They are people who follow the different madhab. The Hanbali and Maliki and so on. They say, please lead salah. I said, I have no desire to lead salah. I have no desire whatsoever to lead salah. You please pray. I am very happy to pray behind you. So, no, you lead salah. My brothers and sisters, get serious with life. Get serious with life. Stop carping. Stop going cha-cha-cha-cha-cha like chickens. Work. If you are serious about what you are saying, then do some work. As far as the university people are concerned, focus on your studies. Get the best, topmost degrees. Top the university in whatever you are studying. Get gold medals and whatnot. And then talk about Da'watul Islam. You will have credibility. Meanwhile, if you've got some time, spare time, by all means, no problem, spend the time in Dawah. But in the university, Dawah is not your focus. Your studies are your focus. Be absolutely clear in your mind about that. Number one. Number two, if you are serious about bringing the Ummah together, if you are serious about everyone should be together, then stop criticizing people. Make friends with people who normally you would not look at. Stop criticizing people. Somebody sends an email. Somebody sent me the question and answer. Someone sent an email to one of the shuyukh, and he sent me the answer also. What is the email? Hafiz Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi, should he be... He didn't say rahmatullah, he just said Hafiz Ibn al-Hajar. He said Hafiz Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, should he be considered to be a Muslim or not? Should he be considered to be within the fold of Islam or not? Because he made some interpretation about Aqaid which is not correct. He said, Subhanallah. Ajeeb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed you to decide which of the classical scholars is still a Muslim. A good thing he died before you came on the scene, because you know. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. The reply given to him by the scholar, alhamdulillah, was a good reply. He said, if somebody has done more good and you know, if his good outweighs his whatever mistakes he made, inshallah, we still send rahmah on him. But my point is, I want to go a step beyond that. My point is, who the hell are you to decide who did what good and what evil? You look at yourself, man. You look at yourself. Don't worry what Hafiz Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi, people who gave their entire life for this deen. And you now sit and you can't even recite the Surah Al-Fatiha properly with tajweed. And you sit here and you want to sit in judgment on Hafiz Ibn al-Hajar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This mentality has to change, believe me. This mentality has to change. It's absolutely nonsensical mentality. This mentality has to change. We have to bring humility into our lives. We have to stop walking around as if you are the new Nabi of Allah or something like this. We have to bring humility into our lives. So sabr is to do the best that you can do in whichever area that you are in. Was salah. Allah did not say, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis sabri aw salah. No. He didn't say, take the help of Allah with sabr or salah. He didn't say that. He said, with sabri was salah. Sequence of how it is to be done and the fact that the two must be done. So we make effort to the best of our ability and then we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put barakah in that effort. To put barakah in that effort. The effort, the creation of that effort comes from us. The life in that effort comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is the salah important? Because that salah will put life into that thing. With sabri wa salah. Second point, as far as tawakkul is concerned. What is tawakkul? Tawakkul is to see something happening from a source and to know that it is not happening from that source, but it is happening because of Allah. This is tawakkul. Cheez ko ek jagah se hota hua dekhte hue ye jaane ke wahan se nahi ho rahi hai aur Allah kar rahe hain. That is tawakkul. I already translated that before, so don't look here and there. That is tawakkul. Tawakkul is to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after making all the effort. As I told you, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zariyat. But to bring that risk down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a system. Please understand that the fundamental laws of this world are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world and He created some fundamental laws of how this world runs, of how to run this world and what happens in this world. The world is also the creation of Allah and those fundamental laws are also the creation of Allah. Right? Now, to give you an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created the law of gravity. And decreed that anything which is floating in space in the atmosphere of the earth will be attracted towards the earth and will come down. And this coming down will be the acceleration of that thing when it comes down will be at the rate of 32 feet per second per second. This is a fundamental law of gravity. So now if a person jumps off a 20th floor building and he says, I do not believe in gravity, he will be making a grave mistake. Because when he hits the concrete, he will have a very concrete experience. Because the fundamental law of gravity doesn't change because you don't believe in it. Right? So the issue to understand is, and so also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the law of thermodynamics, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the law of flight and aerodynamics and so on and so forth. thing to understand about fundamental laws is, fundamental laws do not change for anybody. Whether you are Muslim, whether you are not Muslim, whether you are atheist or you are anything, the fundamental law remains the same and it does not change. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى is a fundamental law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is for the human being only what he works for. This is a fundamental law of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the law of thermodynamics, just like the law of aerodynamics, just like gravity and whatever else you can think of, those fundamental laws, and this one is also a fundamental law, and it applies exactly like those laws across the board to everyone, to you, me, anyone. The one who works for it will get results. The one who does not work for it will not get results. As simple as that. There's no rocket science in that. There's no need to confuse yourself and no need to confuse everybody else. If you don't want to work, you will not get any result. Simple as that. You want an egg to hatch, what must you do? Put it under a chicken. How long does it take? All urbanites, you don't even know how an egg hatches.
Incubators.
But whether you put it in incubator also, or incubator is a good idea. You put it under a chicken or you put it in incubator, at a certain temperature it takes 21 days. A chicken egg takes 21 days to hatch. So now you say, well, you know what, this is like too long, right? So I'm going to put it in incubator and jack up the temperature. And I want it to hatch in 21 hours. In 21 hours you will get an omelette. You won't get a chicken. Fundamental laws don't change for anyone. No matter what. Therefore, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى is the fundamental law of success. And the fundamental law of success says that success comes to the one who invests in it. Success comes to the one who invests in it. And how much success will come? Proportionate to the investment. ROI, return on investment, is a Quranic law. The accountants use it, I don't know from where, but it's actually return on investment is the basis of Islam. The fundamental law is that success comes to those who work for it, and how much success? As much as the investment. Not more. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. When that investment is done with the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah in it. And this is the other fundamental law which our economists don't understand. Because the economic theory is more equals more, less equals more. But the theory of barakah is less equals more. Yeah. Economic theory is what? More equals more, less equals less. But the barakah theory is what? Less equals more. A small amount will go a long way. A small income you will get, but if that income is halal and tayyibah, then it comes with barakah. It comes with khair. You have a small amount of money, but that small amount of money goes a long way. You have peace and harmony, and there's no sickness, and there's no illness, and there's no accidents, and there's nothing. Alhamdulillah. You got a large amount of money, it's coming in haram ways. Then you have an accident and you are in hospital. Of course, the hospital bill is a few $100,000, but I've got the money, I can pay it. But that's not very comforting when you are standing like this and lying like this in the hospital. You know, I can pay the bill for this hospital. La haula wala quwwata illa billah. Who wants to be in that situation in the first place? Who's better? You lying like that in the hospital and you either have the money to pay the bill, or someone who didn't get there at all. He doesn't have the money to pay the bill and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give him the illness. So he's fine. Who's better off? That is barakah. Barakah is that if your risk is halal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put khair in this. Allah will protect you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not subject you to difficulties. When the risk is haram, then along with that haram risk, amount is the same. What comes to you is the same, and we'll come to that. Haram is this, if the risk is haram, then along with that will come illness, will come accidents, will come difficulties and conflict and strife and everything else comes along with that. So return is based on the investment. What kind of investment? Halal investment. Make the effort. Because end of the day, It's not the quantum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to question us on how much money did you make. Allah will say, where did you earn it from and where did you spend it? Because that is what we have been given control over. We have not been given control over the quantum. So I want to end with this so that we understand this whole issue of effort and return. That this issue has been clarified for us both in the kalam of Allah and in the seerah of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that effort, that results are proportionate to effort. And therefore, we must make the effort. Number one. Number two, we must make the best effort that we can possibly make in terms of planning, in terms of strategy, in terms of actual investment of time, energy, money, resources. And then we must stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and connect with Him and beg and plead Him to put success in those efforts. So this sequence must be followed. You must make the effort and then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not simply sit and wait. And this is where the famous story of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, I think somebody mentioned it the other day, where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu came into the masjid at a time when it was not time for salah and there were some people sitting there, and he said, what are you doing here? They said, nahnu mutawakkilun. He said, we are having tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, whacked them with his durra and he said, get out of here. He said, go and work. And he said, and the famous saying, and what did he say? He said, tawakkul is that a bird leaves its nest hungry in the morning and returns to its nest with the belly full. What does this teach us? It teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds the bird but not in the nest. Please understand this. People take the wrong meaning. Allah feeds the bird. Yes, but where? Where? Did we say somebody else feeding the bird? No, Allah is feeding the bird. But the bird has to go and make effort for that. The bird has to leave the nest and go and search for that early worm. People say early bird got the worm. So whether you should wake up early or not depends on whether you are a bird or a worm. Because if you are a worm, the early bird will get you. The bird has to make an effort. The bird has to leave the nest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds the bird but not in the nest. So think about that. Give it some consideration. Allah will give you. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you bi ghairi hisab in terms of quantity in this world and in terms of hisab in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill your coffers with gold. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely cover you with gold and enable you to have the sense to spend that gold before you die in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you wealth and to give you health and to give you your iman and yaqeen, make it strong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you power and authority. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your small little hearts which cannot fit in anybody else except yourself in it and expand it so that you can fit everyone into that heart, all the Sanafis and Hanafis and Tablighis and everything else together in your heart so that this ummah will actually come together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you a sabr in the true sense of the term, which is to make you strive and hard and work and to the final and ultimate extent of your capability in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then to have the aqeedah of tawheed to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, all of this can do nothing without your amr. So, oh Allah, send down your amr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of these du'as for you. And somebody asked me, how come you make only this du'a? I ask Allah for you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make du'a for your brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint an angel to make the same du'a for me. So instead of making du'a for myself, I make the du'a for you. And there are all these angels who are saying, Ameen for me. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.